Every time I'm up here and I follow up those Dollar Club videos, I'm like, it is such an amazing joy to be a part of blessing others, that we actually get to experience what Jesus promised, that it's better to give than to receive, and that we have this opportunity as a church family to be a conduit of God's blessing, to just return a little bit of the blessing that he's put in our lives to be a blessing to others. So thank you for those that join with us in Dollar Club. You saw on the screen how you can join with us if you want to be a part of that in the future. But we are so thankful for your partnership with us. We want to welcome you, those that are here with us, those that are joining us online. It's been such a sweet morning already, that what we get to experience here on a Sunday morning is unique to the rest of the week, that we get to gather together and to worship together and to be encouraged together. We worship and sing our songs back to a loving God, and we get an opportunity to worship through giving back and being used as a blessing from God to others. And we worship God through opening up our heart and our lives to his word. So as we do that, let's go to him in prayer this morning. God, we are thankful. Thankful for the blessing of being on mission with you. God, you didn't have to set it up this way, but you did. You allow us to be a part of your mission of spreading your love and your mercy and your grace to those around us. And God, now as we go into your word, we pray that it would be a mirror into our lives. As we look into it, that we can see how it is that you want to shape our lives and to change us. So God, we open up our minds and our hearts and our lives to your word. Spirit, do your work. You are our God this morning. I pray that you would meet us exactly where we are and give us those steps that we need to follow after you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we are in this series called Finding Fullness, where we are looking at this promise of God that he wants for us to experience and to live a full and abundant life. And the anchor verse we've been looking at is John 10:10, where Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This phrase here, have it to the full, is this superabundance, this overabundance that God wants to put in our lives. Jesus isn't just talking about more material stuff. What he's saying is that I want you to have a better life. I want you to have more and an abundance of what really matters in life, that we were created to live a life where we experience the goodness of God and the grace of God and the joy and the peace of God, that we were created to live a life full of purpose, a life full of impact and making a difference in the world around us. And while we read that and we are inspired and we say, yes, that's what I want my life to look like. But so often we miss out on experiencing a consistent John 10:10 life. It just seems to elude us at times. So the last few weeks we've been looking at some of the ways that we can overcome some of those obstacles so that we can more consistently experience this abundant life, the satisfying life. And what this verse is telling us is that salvation is just the beginning. That salvation is this doorway for us to then experience a full life, an abundant life that God created for us. Last week we saw that Jesus referred to himself as the good shepherd who wants to lead us and to guide us into this kind of life. But in the same passage, Jesus also uses this imagery of being a door or a gate to help us understand what he wants to do in our lives. Just a few verses before John 10:10 and verse 7, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, that I am the gate for the sheep." As you read through Scripture, gates and doors, they're found throughout the story of God. They're metaphors for opportunities that God wants to do in our lives. God wants to do all kinds of things in our lives. But as you read from the Old Testament to the New, this idea, this theme of doors or gates is found throughout. Genesis tells us that after Adam and Eve sinned and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, that they left through a gate, and then God put two angels in that gate with flaming swords to prevent Adam and Eve from returning into the garden. It represents this lost opportunity that they had to spend this unbroken relationship with God. And then you read another example, as you read through the story of Noah and the ark, and this ark that he built only had one door for God to save Noah and his family and a selection of animals. That this door was an opportunity for them to experience life and to experience salvation. And so Jesus uses this same kind of language, and he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." And for us to understand what it is that Jesus is trying to paint for us, we need to understand that in that day and age that there were actually two types of sheepfolds or sheep pens. There were city sheepfolds and there were country sheepfolds. The city sheepfolds were big and they were communal. And whenever the shepherds needed to come back in from the fields, they would go into the city and they would drop off their flock into these big community sheep pens. And there would be multiple flocks and multiple flocks and shepherds that would drop them off at the same time. And when it was time to leave, the shepherds would go into that pen and they would call out their flock by name and they would come to them. And only their flock would come to them. That's kind of what we talked about last week of hearing the voice of the good shepherd. But then there were also country sheep pens or sheepfolds, and they would look more like this. They were more crude, more temporary in how they were built, and they were built out in the fields, and anyone could use them. And they would be built with a pen around it, but they would leave a small opening in the front. It wouldn't have a door or a gate. So what would happen is the shepherd at night would sleep in that entrance, in that gate. The shepherd was the gate. And while he was standing guard, the sheep were secure and they were protected from attack. And then he would decide, and he'd only let them out into pasture once he knew that they were safe and they were free from dangers. So Jesus is using this kind of language when he says that I am the gate for the sheep, and he describes it this way. He says, yes, I am the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. See, the fact is that in your life and in my life, there are all kinds of doors that we can walk through, doors that lead to happiness and doors that lead to sadness, doors that lead to success or failure, doors that lead to abundance and achievement, and there are some doors that lead to distraction and pain and loss. Your success, your happiness in life will be determined primarily by the doors that you walk through and the doors that you walk past. But there's no more important door, there's no more important gate than what Jesus is offering here. Jesus says that for those that walk through me, they will experience everything that they need in life. He says, I'll give them salvation. I'll give them security. I will give them satisfaction in this life. Jesus says that I am the gate to freedom and to a full life. And if you will walk through me, if you will come through me, I will lead you to the kind of life where you are freely able to go in and out of good pastures into this abundant and satisfying life. If you're taking notes, what we've been looking at are some of the keys or some of the steps that we need to go through to experience abundant life. And today, we're going to talk about to find fullness, I must first find freedom. The Greek word that's used throughout the New Testament to describe freedom is this Greek word eleutheria. And it's used throughout the New Testament, both in the Gospels and in the letters. And this word can be translated either to be free from something, like free from an imprisonment, or freedom to a life of liberty. And Jesus means both. And actually, Paul in Galatians 5 captures both of these in one verse. He says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. In other words, what Jesus is saying is God wants to set us free to this full life, this satisfying life, this abundant life that we're talking about. But before we can enter into that, before we can freely enter into that, he has to first free us from some things. So I want to spend some time this morning talking about what it means to have freedom from some things so that we can have freedom to some things. And Jesus as the gate is the access to this freedom of both. The first, if you're taking notes, is that we get to experience freedom from the penalty of sin. For something to be freed, it implies first that it is imprisoned, that it is bound. And that's exactly what we were before Christ. You and I were prisoners and under the control of the power of sin. And we were held captive to the impulses of sin in our lives, that we had no real power, no real resistance to overcome the pull and the draw of sin. In our days before Christ, the primary authority in our lives was our sinful nature. So whatever sin wanted, sin got. And as a result of that, we were accumulating this increasing debt toward God. The rabbis in Jesus' day, They would often use the analogy of financial debt to describe the consequences of sin against God. Sin was, and still is, an offense against God, and it comes with it a price tag. It was almost like you were walking through life and you were carrying a sin credit card. And every time you misspoke, every time you misstepped, every time you defied or disobeyed a command of God, it was like you were swiping this sin credit card and you were racking up a debt to God. And at the end of the month, you would get this statement and you would look at it and you're like, I didn't even know I was using my card some of the times. And then you'd look at the balance owed and you'd think, how can I ever pay this back? And the Bible paints a very bleak picture of the consequences of the sin debt that we have incurred. Paul says in Romans 6, for the wages of sin is death. Outside of Christ, you and I had an eternal death sentence, that we were on a path to be eternally separated from the presence of God. This was the penalty of debt for our sin. God's holiness and God's justice cannot and will not allow sin to be in his presence. But thankfully, the story doesn't end there. Paul says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the gate to salvation, not a gate. He says, I'm the gate. He is the only gateway that could allow us back into the presence of a holy God. And sometimes when people hear these exclusive statements of Jesus, they want to push back and say, is Jesus really the only way? But here's the thing, is that while his claims are exclusive because they are true of who he is the only God that could allow access back to a holy God, his offer is inclusive to all. All have the opportunity to enter into that gate and experience forgiveness and salvation and the free gift of eternal life. Through Christ, we have a good shepherd who stands in the gate, who stands and has put himself between us and the consequences of our sin. He is the one who absorbed the penalty for our sin. He's the one who paid the debt that our sin deserved on the cross. And he did that so that we don't have to. And because of what Jesus did, we can now go to God and hand him our debt statement, the debt that we owe to him. And we don't have to say, hey, God, just give me a little more time. Can we postpone the payment for a little bit? Or maybe we don't have to say, God, can we put it on a payment plan? No, because of what Jesus did, we can confidently enter into the presence of a holy God through the gate of Jesus and make this bold request. God, would you just forgive the debt? Would you cancel the debt? Would you apply Jesus' payment to my balance? And the only thing more audacious and more bold than the request is the answer. And God says, yes. No hesitation. No fine print. Our sins are forgiven. Our death sentence has been taken away. The penalty that we deserved has been removed. The debt has been paid in full, and now we can experience eternal life. Through Jesus, we will never be separated from the presence and the love of God. But not only do we have freedom from the penalty of sin, we also have freedom from guilt and shame. Oftentimes, we find ourselves imprisoned by our pasts, and we continue to feel the guilt and the shame and the regret of things that we have done sometimes long ago. I wonder if you've ever felt like you needed to go back to God and repent again for something that happened in your past because you still feel bad. And you want to make sure that God really forgave you. I think that's a common struggle. I think there's something inside of us. We have this tendency to want to relive past mistakes, to wish that we would have done something different, and we go back and we replay the bad moments or the sometimes the bad seasons of our lives. But when we rehearse our past, all we're doing is creating a self-imposed imprisonment, and we imprison ourselves to guilt and to shame. It's almost like we go into our own prison cell of our own making, and we close and lock the door behind us. But Jesus' death freed us from the guilt and the shame that we so often struggle with. And yet there are so many people who continue to live a life behind a prison door that's been unlocked. You see, when you sincerely repented and asked for forgiveness the first time, God completely forgave your sin. I love these reminders in the Old Testament. In Psalm, we're reminded that he has removed our sins as far from the east is from the west. And Jeremiah says, "And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins." That God says, I've removed the guilt and the shame from your sin as far as the east is from the west. But he doesn't just forgive, he also forgets. That he erases the board, he destroys the evidence. God refuses to keep a list of my wrongs. And so when I go and I ask for forgiveness, sometimes for the same thing that I just did, God doesn't break out the clipboard and say, "Well, Chad, I've already forgiven you of that 132 times. The answer is no. He doesn't remember. So here's the thing that we need to remember is that when we are tempted to recall our past, we need to remember that he forgets, that he doesn't remember it anymore. He will never bring it up again. So that means neither should we. See, Jesus not only forgives us from the penalty of our sins, he also frees us from those lingering feelings of regret and shame. And when he removes that from us, he also takes away one of the biggest anchors that holds us back, that limits us from experiencing the full life that God has for us, the full life of purpose and abundance and influence. If you come to God the Father through the gate of his Son Jesus, then you have assurance and you have security and you have confidence that you are forgiven completely and that you are forgiven totally. He's removed you from you the burden. You don't have to carry the burden of guilt and shame anymore. He's unlocked the door. And what he's inviting us to do is say, walk out of that prison door and never return. You are forgiven and you are free. And when you understand what you're freed from, it now allows you to step into with joy to experience what it is that he's freed you to. And one of the things he's freed us to is we have freedom to walk in God's blessing. When God saved you, something beautiful happened. He gave you a new master. He put inside of you a new nature, and he awoken the spirit inside of you, and he gave you a new master, the Holy Spirit, to lead and to guide your life. And if you will follow his leadership, he will lead you to a life of freedom. And this is crucial for us to understand. The freedom that Christ gives to us and the freedom that the Spirit will lead us to is not a freedom to just go and do whatever you want. No, Jesus says, I am the gate to a good pasture. I am a gate to the pasture that I have for you. So here's what I want you. I want you to freely graze and feed and roam in the good pasture that I've opened up to you. And we need to remember that pastures have boundaries. They have limits. They have borders. And God says that if you will live your life in the confines of the boundaries that I have defined, then you will experience real freedom. But that's not normally how we think of freedom. We tend to think of freedom as living without any boundaries, without any limitations, without any constraints. Our culture tends to think of freedom as having complete autonomy in our lives, complete independence to choose whatever I want to do. And in our culture, in our country, there's an entire brand called Las Vegas. And the motto of Las Vegas is what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it paints this illusion that you can live your life however you want, without any rules, without any boundaries. Just do whatever you want for the week or the weekend that you're here, and that is freedom. But that's just an illusion. Because while you may be free to choose whatever path you want, you're not free from the consequences of those choices. For me, what came to mind when I was thinking about this is I love Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is far and away my favorite holiday. It's a day devoted to food and to football and to food. I look forward to it, and I actually go into training leading up to it. So the day of, I put on a nice pair of comfy pants that have an expandable waistline on it, and I am ready to take in the food without restraint, no limitations, no boundaries, and I fill up that first plate to overflowing, ham and turkey and mashed potatoes and all the stuff, and then I go back for seconds, sometimes thirds. I leave enough room to have a couple slices of graham cracker pie, and it is a great and glorious day, and it feels so good in the moment. And then about 2 hours later, I'm like, what was I thinking? I just never learned. But, I mean, the point is that not all decisions, not all paths, not all pastures really lead to lasting freedom. And so what Jesus says is, I am the gate, and I want to open your life up, and I want to lead you into a pasture, to a way of life that really does lead to lasting freedom. He says it this way in John 8. He says, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm the creator of life, and I have written an owner's manual on how to live this life the way that it was designed to be, the way that it was meant to be lived, and to the extent that you will follow my instructions, you'll experience this lasting freedom. But he says that this kind of freedom requires some truth-seeking, that real freedom and truth-seeking are tied together, that real freedom and obedience are tied together. And so he says to them, and he says to us, my teachings will lead you into the good pastures where there are boundaries and there are borders and there are commands that are for your good. And if you will faithfully follow my teachings, that is, if you will humble yourself under the authority of my teachings, then you'll experience blessing in your life. You'll experience the blessing of my peace and my presence and flourishing the way that life was meant to be, that you'll experience the blessing of how I designed life to be lived, which means that every time that we handle forgiveness God's way, even when we don't want to, even when it seems counterintuitive, even when it doesn't feel like they deserve it, every time that we handle forgiveness God's way, that we're grazing in his good pasture. We'll experience his blessing in our lives. And every time we tame our tongue and we don't lash out in anger, or we don't gossip and slander someone else behind their back, that we are grazing in his good pasture. And every time that we handle our relationships the way that he defines them to be, we experience his blessing. And every time we handle our finances his way, we are finding ourselves in the boundaries of his good pastures, and we will experience his blessing in our lives. God is a good God, and he wants to bless us. And as we submit our lives and we place ourselves under the authority of what his teachings and his authority has for us, then it'll lead to these pastures where we experience the blessing of his love and his joy and his peace in our lives. But it's not just what he wants to lead us to do and to live a certain way. It's also a freedom that he wants to do in our lives for somebody that we can become. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. I love this promise again, because what we were seeing time and again is salvation is just the beginning of the journey, that God wants to free us from our past so that we can actually become something different. Here's also what we're free to. We're free to become more like Jesus. God's goal is to change us. God's goal is to transform us, to shape our lives, to mold our lives so that we become more like Jesus over time. In our attitudes, in our actions, in the way that we love, in the way that we serve others. And he never stops. This process begins at the beginning of our salvation and carries on through life. Paul says it this way in Philippians 1. He says, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. The good news is that God's not done with us yet, which means that I have hope and you have hope that some of the things that we feel stuck in, that we don't have to stay stuck in any longer. We all have sins. We all have struggles. We all have weaknesses in our lives that don't really look like Jesus. And the promise that we find here is that God wants to enter into all of those areas of our lives and change them over time so that over time they look more like Christ. And I love the word that Paul uses, continue. That this is not just an all-at-once kind of thing, that God has a plan and he has a journey of growth in our lives one step at a time. The theological term for this is sanctification. It's this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that patiently and progressively frees us from some areas of our lives that don't look like Christ and develops Christ's character within us. Think of it like this. Think of your life almost as a room that has a dimmer switch in it. And when you first start following Jesus, it's like that switch is turned down really low. But even at that low light, you can see some things in your life that you know need to be changed. And so you go to the Spirit, and through a partnership with him, through his work in your life, you hand over that to him, and he begins to change that in your life. And then as you continue to seek God and you walk in his ways and you immerse yourself in his word and his teachings, it's the Holy Spirit starts to gradually turn up the brightness in your life. And he gives more light. And now there are some things that you didn't see before, but now you do. And he does this in a way that's not in a shaming way. It's done in a gracious way, and in a gentle way. He gently turns up the wattage in your life. And he says, I see that too. How about we work on this together? And gradually over time, he continues to shine the light in more and more areas of your life. Maybe there are some areas that you've really held on to. Or maybe there are some areas that you're just kind of oblivious to. So some long-standing attitudes or some deeply entrenched habits in your life. But over time, this lifelong process that God uses through the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, in our lives, to identify some areas that don't look like him, and then to not just leave us there hopeless, but to work with us and to shape that to look more like him, that we invite God into more and more areas of our lives, and we allow him to change those areas so that we reflect more of Jesus into the lives of the people around us. And over time, our eyes are trained a little more, and we see people the way that God does. And over time, our hearts are more in tune with the hurts and the pain in the world around us and what God wants us to be able to be an influence in that. And our lives are start to be filled with the consequences or the working and the fruit of the Spirit. And now we're able to go out into the world with the working of the Spirit in our lives and his love and his joy and his peace and his patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness start to invade the lives of the people around us. And we are used by God to make a difference. We're used by God to be on mission for him, to be an influence, to make an impact in the world around us. That's the full life. That's the life that we want. That's the abundant and satisfying life that we were created to experience. So imagine what our lives would look like if we truly embraced this freedom. This freedom that Christ has defined for us. Imagine waking up each morning with a sense of purpose, with a sense of joy, recognizing that this day that the Lord has made, he has purpose in it, in the interactions that you have with the people around you, that he has a purpose for this day. And you know that you are loved unconditionally and that you are forgiven completely. Imagine a life where guilt and shame no longer have a hold on you, and where we can walk in the freedom of God's mercy and God's grace, and we are freed and we are released from the weight of those past mistakes. We are freed to live in the fullness of his blessings, experiencing his goodness and his provisions in all areas of our lives as we submit ourselves and follow his way. Think about the transformation that would take place, that we don't have to stay stuck in who we are, that the God is a God that's not done with us. And as we surrender more and more to his word, and as we surrender more and more to the Spirit's leading and work in our lives, and we look more like Jesus. And we can have a life of purpose. And we can reflect his love and his compassion and his grace to everyone that we encounter. That's the life that he has for us. That's the life that is on the other side of entering through the gate of Jesus. It's for freedom that we have been set free. So live these free lives that he's called us to. Let me pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you for the promise of your word that you have set us free. You set us free from the penalty and the power of sin in our lives. God, you have set us free from the guilt and the shame and the regret that we so often hold on to. God, for those of us that are here that have been imprisoned by that, God, I just pray that you would open up eyes and give the courage to push open that door and to experience the freedom that you have. God, you've freed us from that. You've saved us from that so that we can experience the freedom of walking in your good pastures, the blessings that you have for us as we follow after your ways and your commands. God, we recognize that you are a good father and that your commands are for our good. God, thank you that you are not done with us, that we can experience true and lasting change. God, meet us where we are. Give us the courage to recognize the work that you have for us today. Give us the courage to open up maybe a part of our lives that we've tried to keep that door closed. And then give us the courage to take the steps with you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace and your Son that make all this possible. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Hey, if you have any prayers that you need some support in, we have a couple folks from our prayer team up here. Come on up and get prayed over. If not, we'll see you back here next week. Have a great week, guys.